We shall now turn to the chapter which we read together, Acts chapter 5, and we shall read again verses 10 and 11. Acts 5 at verse 10. Then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Some people appear to be true Christians, but actually they're not. Some people are really good living. They're kind, they're helpful, thoughtful, considerate, generous, charitable. And yet, they're atheists. And at the end of the day, no atheist will get to heaven. So, being good living is not enough to save us. Because good living atheists will be lost. Then there are other people, and they may be very active in the church, very diligent. They're always in church, and they come to church every Sunday, and maybe even twice a Sunday, and on Tuesday nights as well. They come to lots of services, and they're very diligent, and they read their Bible, and they say their prayers. And yet, they too do not have a living relationship with Christ. They might be members of the church, elders of the church, even ministers in the church. But they have never been born again. And Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. They've never been truly converted. All they have is religion and ritual. And they don't have a personal savior. The Bible tells us about 10 virgins who had been invited to a wedding. And they all seemed to be ready. And they all had their wedding garments on and their lamps and so forth. And then the bridegroom came. And some were ready to go in with the bridegroom and others were not. What was the difference between the 5 wise ones and the 5 foolish ones? Simply this. The wise had oil as well as lamps. And the foolish, their lamps went out. Do you have oil? Do you have the Holy Spirit living in your heart? If you don't have the oil of the Spirit, your lamp will go out. In the time of Jesus, there were many hypocrites in the church. The Pharisees, they were hypocrites. They were very concerned to be regularly at the temple and to be doing all the duties of the church and the synagogue and reading their Bibles and saying their prayers. And Jesus said to them, "You are a generation of vipers. You are snakes. You've never had your nature changed. You've never been transformed from being a snake into being a son of God." Outwardly, they looked great Christians. But in their hearts, they didn't really love God. And they didn't really trust in Christ. And they rejected the Savior that God sent into the world and they crucified him. What was wrong? All their concern was, what do people say about me? What do people think about me? What does the church think about me? What does the world think about me? Look at me. I live a good life. And all the time, their great concern was the eyes of people. And they had no concern about the eye of God. Jesus said, you are like graves, tombs, beautifully decorated on the outside, whitewashed sepulchres. But if you go inside the sepulchre, what do you find? Rotten bones, stink. We can look so good on the outside, and I can look the part of a minister, but what is my heart like? You can't see my heart, but God sees it. And that's what matters. What is God's view of us? That's what we've got to be sure about. And here we find two people, Ananias and Sapphira, two prominent members in the Jerusalem church. Everyone thought they were true Christians, but we're told here that they died under God's judgment. And we have very little hope for their souls. Under the wrath of God, they were struck down, and we fear that they went straight to hell. Surely, this is a warning passage. So first of all, this morning, I want us to think a little about this, that death comes to us all. We try and put it away from us. We try not to think it. It's one of these sort of words that people don't like talking about. And there's something inside ourselves, the folly in our own heart that says, I'm young, I'm healthy, I've got years to live. You might be 80 and you still think you've got years to live. You might be 100 and you still think there's something in us that makes us think we're going to go on and on. Even although our body gets old, our mind doesn't seem to get old at all, and it thinks it's going to go on and on and on. But we've got to try to face up to the reality of death. We sang about it in the psalm, didn't we? 70 do sum up our days and years we see, or if by reason of more strength than some 80 to be, 70, the lifetime of a man, maybe up to 80, perhaps a little bit longer, but it's only grief and trouble. And the longer we live, the more aches and pains we're likely to have. There have been more deaths in our church here recently than I've ever seen at one time. We have two of our members who are dead, who are waiting to be buried. And that's a very solemn thought in itself. Then last Thursday I was at the funeral of a young woman, just 31 years of age. Her daughter found her dead in bed in the morning. How sad, how tragic. One woman at 31, then Mrs. McCalman in our church, 101. But whether we're 31 or 101, death is ahead of us. Katie Ann McLeod, she was with us here in church on the 7th of February. And up till that time, her place was never missing in church. Now she's gone. Her bright, smiling face no longer amongst us. One who was so encouraging to the minister because of the way she listened so intently to the sermons and her face so radiant and bright. What a lovely Christian. But she's gone and we're all going the same way. We cannot escape it. Some die in the womb, either naturally or by being aborted, murdered. Others die as young children or young people, middle-aged, and some in a ripe old age. Like old Mrs. McCalman. What a lovely Christian she was too. And how beautiful, in her old age, beautiful with that godliness along with contentment, which is great gain. It's a wonderful thing to be content, to be trusting in the Lord, to be following Him. I remember visiting her just a few weeks ago. And when I went in, it was in the evening. She'd already gone to bed. She was lying there and the light was off. And I put the light on. And when I came to her, her eyes opened and a great smile came over her face. She said, "I was just praying that somebody would come to visit me. And the Lord answered my prayer. You came." And how delighted she was as I read with her from the scriptures and prayed with her. Yes, death comes to us all. But are we ready? That is the great question. Some people live a very unhealthy lifestyle. They smoke and they drink and they don't exercise and they eat the wrong food, and yet they live on to an old age. Other people, they try and do the right thing. They try and look after their bodies, and they're always very, very careful about what they eat and what they do and looking after their health and taking vitamins, supplements and all sorts of things. And yet, death comes to them and they pass away in relative youth. Well, nothing is more certain than death. One day, coming to us all. And generally speaking, death will come to us sooner than we expect. And every death is a new call to you and me who are left behind. Prepare to meet your God. We have this little life, these few years, in order to prepare for the never-ending eternity. Forevermore, we will live in either of two places. In heaven or in hell. Where will it be? Forevermore in heaven. With Christ the Savior, in whom we loved and in whom we trusted. Or with the devil and his demons and the wicked in hell. Death comes to us all, but let us prepare. Make sure you prepare. Then secondly, I want us to think about the cause of death. Here in this chapter, Ananias and Sapphira die. Why do they die? It's obviously a sudden judgment of God upon them. Probably, if a post-mortem were carried out on Ananias, it would discover that he had died of heart failure, a heart attack. Very likely. Other people die of brain seizure, cancer, old age, stroke, whatever it is. But what is the real cause of death? It's not a heart attack. It's not a stroke. It's not cancer. What's the real cause of death? It's sin. The wages of sin is death. If we never sinned, we would never die. And the fact that we all die simply proves that we're all sinners. God created the world perfect, And when he made it in the beginning, there was no sin and there was no death. But then our first parents sinned. They ate the forbidden fruit. And with that sin came God's curse. God said, "In the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." That was a warning to them. You must not eat the forbidden fruit. In the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. They ate the fruit. Death came into human experience. Death came into the world. Animals died as well as humans. The curse came not just upon mankind, but upon the whole world. Thorns and thistles were brought forth in this world. All kinds of diseases, all kinds of problems, all kinds of troubles, and of course, the greatest trouble of all, death came into the world. What is sin? The wages of sin is death. Well, what is sin? Sin is breaking God's commandments, doing what God tells us not to do. Now here, in this chapter, we have Ananias and Sapphira dying. Why did they die? Because they broke God's commandment. Which commandment? The 9th commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness. That means you shall not go to court, and in court bear witness, false witness, against an innocent person. But it means more than that. The commandments are not to be interpreted narrowly. Jesus said, think of the 6th commandment, thou shalt not kill. Jesus said, that 6th commandment doesn't just refer to actual murder. He said it also refers to hating somebody, losing your temper, being angry without a cause, being spiteful towards somebody. It refers to thoughts as well as deeds. So if we have hatred in our heart to somebody, Jesus said, you're a murderer. Or think about the 7th commandment. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus said that doesn't just refer to a married man committing adultery with another woman. No. He said, if you so much as look upon a woman to lust after her, you have committed adultery in your heart. If you look upon a man to lust after him, you've committed adultery. The commandments are broad. They refer to deeds. They refer to words. And most searching of all, they refer to thoughts. And so here, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Also means you shall not tell lies. And here were Ananias and Sapphira. And they told lies. You might think telling a lie is a little sin. But the only little sin is a sin against a little God. Where can you find a little God? Certainly not the God who created heaven and earth. Our God is a great God, not a little God. To tell a lie is a great sin. Every sin is great. And here we see the consequences of that sin. Ananias struck down dead. Sapphira, his wife, struck down dead. Do you commit sins? Do you tell lies? Do you break the Sabbath day? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. In it you shall not do any work. Keep it holy unto the Lord. the whole Sabbath? Do you do that? Honor your father and your mother. Respect them always and everything. Those whom God has set over us, do you really respect them? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Do you allow other things to come into your heart, to your affections, to your desires, to fill your thoughts and to push God out? The wages of sin is death. If you were sinless, you wouldn't die. But it's not death that really should worry us. It's what comes after death. That's the big worry. What comes after death. So, thirdly, I want you to notice that God is judge. Pentecost was a blessed time. Peter preached a sermon. 3,000 people were converted. The church was growing. There was lots of activity. The place was busy. There were old and young mixed together, rejoicing in Christ as Savior. It was a lovely time. Shortly after Pentecost, more and more people were coming into the church. And they were all full of the Holy Spirit. There was a lovely spirit amongst them. They had a wonderful time and they were going from house to house, breaking bread, eating food together. And they began to share what they had. And those who were wealthy gave to those who were poor. For a little time, there was a kind of Christian communism where they had all things in common. And if anyone had any need, it was supplied. It was wonderful. We read here, at the end of chapter 4, if any among them lacked, as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, brought the prices of these things that were sold and gave it to those who needed. We're told about Barnabas, that he had land in Cyprus, and he sold that land and he brought the money and he gave it to the apostles, so that it will be distributed to the people. A wonderful time. Their hearts were full of the Spirit, full of love, full of care. For a time, all self-interest seemed to be gone. It must have been a wonderful experience being present there at that time. Full of love, full of joy, full of peace, full of concern for one another. All sharing together like one big family. A blessed time. But it only lasted for so long. It was a kind of heaven on earth. But you can be sure that Satan is always looking for opportunities to destroy heaven on earth. And our heaven on earth experiences in this world are only for a short time. We can't expect heaven here. Heaven is beyond the grave. This world is a world of sin, and it doesn't take very long before sin intrudes. Sin gets in there and causes harm and damage. Ananias and Sapphira were fairly wealthy. They had some land, and they decided to sell it. And they got a good price for it. And then they thought, we'll keep some of this money and we'll give the rest and pretend that what we are giving was the full price of what we'd got for the land. And then we'll look really good and people will think, oh, Ananias and Sapphira, they're like Barnabas. They're so generous. Won't we look good? And people think we're tremendous Christians because we're so generous. We have this land, we sold it, and we gave the money, all the money to the church. But meanwhile, they were keeping back some for themselves and for their own interests. Nobody could see what they were doing. Nobody knew. But one person, God knew. And no sin can be hidden from Him. God sees your heart. He reads your thoughts. He knows what goes on behind closed doors. There's no escape from the eye of God. Oh, to have more of the fear of God and less of the fear of man. Whatever we do, God watches, and God records in His books, and God never forgets. Things that no one else knows, God knows. Things that you yourself have forgotten, sins you committed years ago, God hasn't forgotten. They are in His books. And we shall be judged out of those things which are written in His books, according to our works, whether they be good or bad. And how will it be with us on that great day, on the judgment day? Revelation 21 says, "And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone." Just think of it. All liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone. When we die, we will be judged. God is judge. So that leads us then to our final point. Make your peace with God. So important. Make your peace with God. Ananias, he comes into the temple and he puts the money at Peter's feet and he says, "That's the price we got for our land, and we give it to the church for the need of the poor." Peter said, "Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost to keep back part of the price? While it remained, was it not your own? You didn't have to sell it. And after you sold it, all the money was your own. You didn't have to give it away. You could have given part of it and said, 'That's part of the money.' But instead you gave part of it and said, 'That was all the money.' You lied to the Holy Ghost. You lied not unto men, but unto God. And Ananias fell down, gave up his spirit, and great fear came upon all who heard it. The young men arose up, wound up his body, took it out, and buried it. And then after about 3 hours, his wife, unaware of what had happened, came into the temple. Peter said, 'Tell me whether you have sold the land for so much,'" the money they took into the temple. "And she said, 'Yes, for so much.' Then Peter said, 'How is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them that buried thine husband are at the door and shall carry thee out.' And she fell down straightway at his feet, yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, found her dead, carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church." God's judgment: sin, death, hell. But there's a gospel. There's good news. There's salvation. Friends, What is the message of the church and what is the message of the Bible? There's a Savior. There's forgiveness for sin. If we repent, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Come, tell God about the lies. Tell God about the stealing. Tell God about the murder. Tell God about the adultery. Tell God about the Sabbath breaking. Ask for mercy. How will you do in the presence of the great judge if you continue in your sin? But if you repent, and if you ask for forgiveness, and if you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, your sins will be forgiven. Repent and believe the gospel. You'll be saved. Repent and be converted. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die? Why will you die when there is life with God? All our sins are there. They stand against us. But the blood of Jesus Christ is able to wash away our sins. Old Mrs. McCalmon lived till she was 101. How many sins she must have committed in that life. 101 years of sinning. And yet, all washed away by the blood of Jesus. How long have you lived in this life? 10 years? 30 years? 50 years? 80 years of sinning. But if you believe in Jesus, all your sins are washed away. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Today, Mrs. McCalmon is in glory, along with a Savior whom she loved. Make your peace with God. That's what the Bible says. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's the Savior, died on the cross of Calvary. Can you see Him with the eye of faith, dying there on that cross for you? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your trust in Him. Take Him as your Savior. And all your sins are washed away. It's not enough that people should think you're a good person. It's not enough to be praised even by your family. The only thing that matters is, what does God think of you? And unless you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, God sees you as a sinner, a child of wrath, under His wrath and curse. So friends, today, turn to God, come to Christ, leave your sins behind, put your faith in Him. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Though your sins be as scarlet, I don't know what sins you've committed, but even although they were as scarlet, even although you've done some horrid things, they shall be as white as snow, washed in the blood. What a wonderful Savior we have, the good news of the gospel. Yes, there's sin. Yes, there's death. But there's a Savior who died for sinners and who rose again and who is interceding for us. Take Jesus and you need not fear death. You need not fear judgment. There's nothing to worry about. Some people think, oh, but the church makes us feel so miserable. The church is always talking about sin and judgment and death. Well, we do talk about these things, just to try and get people to wake up to the reality of the situation. But the church's great message is not sin. And the church's great message is not judgment. And the church's great message is not hell. But the church's great message is Jesus, our wonderful Savior. Our wonderful Savior who loves to save, who is able to save. And young or old, come to Christ. And you'll be saved for time and for eternity.